Well, it's good to see you this morning, and when you see the weather forecast, you begin to wonder. And by the way, if you're visiting with us today, we encourage you to fill out the card in the seat pocket in front of you, or you can use the QR code on it. And we have pizza with the pastors today, and so that's after second service. If you're newer to Hannaford, please join us for that. It'll be in the fellowship room about 11:45, and we ordered quite a few pizzas, and we'll see how many of those people are going to brave the weather. But you always wonder about the weather, and it's something about that first snow, isn't it? And did anybody else other than me hear the, you know, 1 foot to 36 inches to, I mean, it was like we were going to not, is above the windows, and I mean, it would seem like it was, and then, so you wonder when you come, okay, who's going to brave, and you guys should get medals too, because you braved to be here this morning, and obviously not quite as much as they were concerned about, but I know it's supposed to continue to snow. So anyway, I thought of a story I'd heard long ago about this this pastor in this country church, and they had a blizzard. It was out in the Midwest, and they had this blizzard, and so he lived right near the church and braved his way to get there, and one old rancher came, and the pastor said, well, you know, I don't know what we should do since there's just one of you, and the rancher said, well, you know, we both fought the storm to get here. We need to have a service. And so the preacher said, okay. So he preached, and I mean, he just, he got fired up, and he preached and preached and preached, and even gave an invitation, and it was just him and the old rancher, gave an invitation and everything. And so after the service, the preacher said to the rancher, he said, so, well, how was that? And the rancher said, well, you know what? If I took a load of hay out and I only had one cow show up, I'd feed the cow, but I wouldn't give him the whole load. So I guess this morning the determination you're going to make is how much of the load you're going to get, but I'm glad you're here, and we'll celebrate God's goodness together. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, may we be encouraged in you. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us as we examine your word this morning. Lord, those who are hurting, I pray that you would just give them your grace and your comfort. And Lord, for each one of us, that we would be challenged by the principles of your word, so we recognize the importance of being connected and unified in what we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What keeps people from being unified? It often is based upon some immature attitudes, some selfishness, or a lack of understanding. Oftentimes, if you look in any relationship, there's that lack of understanding between the people, or an immature attitude, a selfishness that keeps from being unified. But throughout the book of Ephesians, Paul is challenging the church there at Ephesus to be connected, to be unified together in the purpose that they have. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at that. We'll be continuing that today in Ephesians chapter 4, as Paul encouraged this church at Ephesus to be connected in unity through growth. And in this passage, in verses 11 through 16 of chapter 4, Paul shares God's plan for the church and the evidence of growth that is to be displayed in the lives of individuals and in the church as a whole. So let's read, beginning in verse 16, follow along as I read. It says, beginning in verse 11, through 16, he says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So what's God's plan for the church? And we see here God's plan is laid out in verses 11 and 12. We see that plan in very simple terms. In verse 11, he shares some of those who are involved in the leadership of the church. And he shares four groups: the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, and the pastor teacher. Now, the apostles were ones who were sent with a commission. The apostles and prophets were limited in their time frame and in their scope, but these apostles were sent with a mission, and the apostles of the New Testament were a group of men who had witnessed the resurrected Christ. And Paul shared that at another place where he said that he was an apostle born out of two time because he met Christ on the Damascus Road. But the apostles were those that were commissioned by Jesus Christ. And the prophets were ones who proclaimed the Word of God. Ephesians 2:20, we looked at that a few weeks ago, tells us that the church was built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. These men were influential in the foundation of the church, and they were used by God to share His Word before the written New Testament was completed. And then he speaks of evangelists. Evangelist means a bearer of good news. Their focus was on winning the lost to Christ. Now, we're all called to share the gospel, but there are those who have this spiritual gift of evangelism. And the last group that is mentioned in verse 11 was the pastor teacher. Pastor teacher was one who would shepherd the flock or the church and teach the Word of God. And each of these groups was involved in leading and teaching. And so verse 11 shares these groups of people that were leaders there in the church, but what was the goal of the church? And three words in verse 12 help us understand that goal. The first word is the equip or equipping. It says there, for the equipping of the saints, those leading and teaching were to equip the people of God. And they were to equip them. We see the second word is the word service. And he uses it there for the work of ministry, for serving. The key is that everyone is to do the serving. Not just the pastors or leaders of the church. We are all to serve. As we are equipped, we're to serve. We're to use our spiritual gifts. We're to use our talents and our abilities, our passions to serve. And so the equipping takes place and then the serving. And what happens oftentimes in a church is to say, well, that's the pastor's job. Or that's the job of the deacons and elders. But we're all to be involved in serving, and we're all to use our gifts. We're all to use our abilities and our passions to have the impact that God can use and have through us as we serve together. We'll focus on that a little more in verse 16, but the importance of serving together, and then that last word or phrase is the idea of building up. For the edifying, that word edify, for the edifying of the body of Christ. When everyone serves, the body or church is edified. And when the plan is executed, we'll see the growth that will take place. And we're not just talking growth in numbers, but growth in individuals and growth of the gospel and growth in maturity in Christ. And so we see that plan laid out there in those verses, and then he shares what will be taking place in the lives of individuals there in the church, the growth that will be taking place, and there are several signs in verses 13 through 16 that demonstrate that growth is taking place. As we are taught and as we serve, we will demonstrate growth. And we will demonstrate maturity, verse 13, till all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, here in verse 13, Paul mentions that unity will occur because of knowledge and maturity. And he uses that term perfect. That term perfect doesn't mean without sin. That term perfect in the Greek is the idea of being mature or grown up. Now, we can all think back to times when we responded improperly. And I'm sure if you're like me, you probably don't have to think back too far. We responded improperly because maybe we lacked maturity or we lacked wisdom in the situation. I met my wife at a camp. Our two churches, along with some other churches, had this camp for 4th through 6th graders. And I had just started seminary, and she was actually a freshman in college, going to be a sophomore in college. And that summer, we had this camp, and I was involved, and she was involved, both of us on staff for this 1 week of camp. And I noticed that she was beautiful, and I was like, wow, I was in. But I struggled with, oftentimes at camp, the counselors would spend too much time together and wouldn't focus on the kids. So I said, you know, I'm going to just focus on the kids and just do that. And so anyway, but at the end of the week, her church had brought a bus of kids and staff. And so she was getting on the bus along with a bunch of 4th through 6th graders. And I thought, you know, I'm going to ask her out. The week's over. I'm going to ask her out. And so as she was getting on the bus, I began to get a little nervous. And so I said, so, you're going to be a sophomore. And she said, yes. You know, because it's at our staff meetings each day, we shared a little bit of our stories. And so, yes, I'm going to be a sophomore. I said, well, do you know what sophomore means? She said, no. I said, sophomore means wise fool. And she got on the bus and left. Now, fortunately for my children, they haven't used their father's ability in speaking to trying to impress people of the opposite sex. It wasn't the best pickup line ever. In fact, if you wrote it down, I would cross it off if you're thinking about using it. Now, that was more of a nervousness. I guess there's probably some immaturity there, but more nervousness than that. But oftentimes, we don't respond well because we lack wisdom. And Paul is saying here, listen, we have this unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are to be Christ-like. We are to be maturing each and every day. We are to be growing to be more like Jesus Christ. And that is what we're called to do. And we are to be Christ-like. And when we are Christ-like and when we are growing, our relationships, including the relationships within the church, will be relationships that are unified. We will be connected together in a common goal, as we talked of last week. But we're also connected together as we encourage each other, as we grow together, as we serve each other in Christ. And then in verse 14, we see that this growth and this maturity will lead to stability. Verse 14 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. When we mature, we will not be fooled or foolish. We will recognize when things don't match up. Paul uses some very descriptive words here, describing the strategy of the false teachers and the strategy of Satan in destroying the unity and destroying the connectedness within the church. First word there is that word trickery. It was a word from, as it's translated, from which we get the word cube, and it was the idea of playing dice with loaded dice. Trickery. Craftiness was manipulation to make error look like truth. And deceitful plotting, or we could use the term scheming, was a plan to deceive. And Paul was saying, listen, as we are built up in Christ, as we are maturing in Christ, we will be able to spot those things that will bring division within the church, as well as spot that improper doctrine that the false teachers were bringing or attempting to bring within the church. We will recognize the error. We'll no longer be children, but rather we will be mature as we are built up, as we serve each other. And this stability will keep us from being swept away by error. And then he goes on in verse 15, the first part of verse 15, and he shares another evidence of growth, and that's that we will have truth in love. And he says it simply there at the beginning of verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. A sign of immaturity is displaying one without the other. And we all naturally swing to one end of the truth-love pendulum. But without love, truth will be harsh. And without truth, love will have nothing worthwhile to say. But speaking the truth in love is necessary in the church as well as our relationships with those outside the church. We need to be speaking the truth, but we need to be doing it in a loving way. We talk about graceful truth. Within the church, we're called to encourage each other. And part of encouraging each other is when we see someone going off and making foolish decisions, we need to gently bring them back. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and following, talks about the importance of doing that, of restoring them with grace. But oftentimes we go into the situation guns a-blazing as we blow them away. But that's not how God calls us to do it. And the church is often perceived as harsh. And because it's perceived as harsh, it can be considered uncaring, which I think is far from the truth. But we have to be careful that we speak the truth in love. David Kinnaman, in his book Unchristian, surveyed young people ages 16 to 29, both those who were part of the church and those who weren't part of the church. And it's amazing, 87% of those who were outside or not part of the church felt that Christians were judgmental. And over half of those who were actually part of the church in that age group, they were still involved in the church, but over half of them believed that the church was judgmental, even though they were part of that group. But what has happened is oftentimes we go to the opposite end of the spectrum. Love without truth. And we see that evidence in the church as the church has attempted to counteract this perception of being judgmental by watering down the Word of God. In attempt to be accepted, they have abandoned the teachings of God's Word and just focused upon love. And both ends of that spectrum are incorrect. And we see both ends demonstrated in the church. But the challenge as a mature person is to speak the truth in love. And the challenge as the church is to have the maturity to have and recognize God's holiness, but also to have grace as we reach out, encourage each other, and reach out to a world that needs Jesus Christ. Speaking the truth in love. And then he comes to a final evidence of growth at the end of verse 15 into verse 16, and that's of teamwork. That we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We are all part of this body led by the head of the body, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who does the work. It says that it's in him. And then in the beginning of verse 16, from whom? Jesus Christ is joining and knitting us together. And we, as parts of the body, are to do our part. And when we use our gifts and our abilities and our passions to edify one another, the whole body is strengthened. And every person who is a follower of Christ has been given spiritual gifts. And every person has natural abilities. And these gifts are diverse. But they're all needed in order to build up the body. And just like the body, when a part doesn't fulfill their duty, the whole body hurts. You've had it. You hurt your knee, and what happens? You compensate, and pretty soon your back's hurting and your ankle's hurting and everything that. Or if you have just a small injury to one area of your body, you can't perform the way you desire to perform. I was watching the end of the football game Thursday night, the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles, and I won't mention who won or who lost, but I watched, and Green Bay has this receiver that's just amazing. And they were going down to try to tie the game, and this guy hurt his toe, making a great catch. But he didn't play the rest of the game. Why? Because just that little small part of this incredibly athletic man kept the body from doing what it needed to do. Every part is vital. And we are to be knit together. And as every part does their part, the whole will be strong. You see, growth will occur in our lives when we, as the church, mature, when we demonstrate stability, when we speak the truth in love, and when we work together as a team. And that's what God calls us to do. Now, is the perception of the church going to change? I'm sure in the eyes of some, no. But it will change in these two ways. First, we will encourage each other. And as we encourage each other and as we work together, we'll see that we, as individuals, will grow into maturity, and that unity, that connectedness, will continue to grow. And the second thing is, and it's mentioned in other places in Scripture, where it says that those who want to blast the church, want to find the failures of the church, will have a lack of evidence. Because when they truly examine the church, they will see a group of people that love God, love each other, and love the world. And that is what we're called to do. See, God has a plan. We are to join together to be equipped. And as we are equipped, we are all called to serve. And as we serve, the body will be built up. And we will have those evidence of growth seen in our lives. That maturity, that Christ-likeness, that stability, not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We will see that we speak the truth in love and that we work together, and God's amazing plan will have an effect in our lives, and God will use His amazing plan through our lives to bring a world to know Him. That is what we're called to do. So your homework this week is very simple. Test your maturity level. How are you doing with those evidences of growth that are listed in verses 13 through 16? Are you maturing? Now, none of us are perfect. That wasn't the last time I said something foolish to my now wife. And I'm sure if we brought her up here, she could probably list things I said in the last 24 hours that were probably foolish. But hopefully I'm maturing. And that's what we're all called to do. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your goodness and your love. And Lord, as we examine our lives and examine our maturity, Lord, help us to grow in unity, to be connected together. Lord, help us to build up the body through your power and your strength using us. And Lord, we'll give you the glory what you'll do in us. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for what you'll do through us to a church family around us and to a world around us. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.